Hey, what's going on? It's the Hungry Hustling American Dream Afro Man. Wake and bake, America. Yeah, you're chilling with Mr. Ashtray.
That's Mr. Trey, not Ashtray.
You're listening to Mr. Trey, and you know why. Yeah.
Yeah. It's time for What Football Talk.
Trouble gets away. Mahomes racing with the bad ankle and all. It's
just
out of the
right now, carrying his little briefcase with his little...
Out in the streets?
Yep, with his little briefcase and his cutoff hoodie. His hoodie was cut off sleeves. The poor little sleeves are lost in the gutter. No home. A little puppy. And that's how Bill Belichick's career is.
Parsons on the move. And Micah Parsons is in.
He's a fool.
Hey, tell me you didn't grow up in the projects without telling me.
I grew up with a Jason, though.
Pulls out. Hutchinson has it. And he's to the 20-yard line. Aiden Hutchinson with a takeaway.
I hope it fucks your life up. I hope you fail. I hope you fall flat on your face. I'm like, these are my friends. This is us.
Ball comes out of his hand toward the end zone.
I personally cannot twerk. I used to be able to twerk until I took a twerking injury. Tried to do the whole wall twerk upside down. Took an injury. I've never twerked the same again.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
All right, champagne poppy.
Hear me now? Can you hear me now?
All right, Jared. Wait. Yeah. Jared from Verizon. He's not T-Mobile.
Wrong Jared. Sorry. You said Jared. I thought sandwich guy. I was like, don't call me that.
No.
Wrong Jared.
Aren't you all together?
We're all the non-sandwich Jared. Just like
not the guy who liked you about 6 inches. Not that guy.
I did not understand the question. It was 8, not 6. All right, sorry. I just want to tell you that, anyone can do our job. This is what I was saying before we had the thing, right? That you didn't even hear that. I said, anyone can do our job. If you've got $300, a computer, and some spite in you, you can do our job. That's, if you've got a little know-how, a little intuition, a little pizzazz, and $300, you can do our job. I think is that you can't be consistent. You can't keep doing it over and over and over again unless you really have the will to survive, the will to shout down an empty hallway when at times no one is really listening to you because they don't care who you are, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you that it takes guts, it takes integrity, it takes showing up every day and every week and so on and so forth. It takes that, and I'm just proud of you because you're your 5th year. At the end of this year, you're going to be a half a decade in. And, I've been writing. I've been writing for broadcasting, at least sports first, and then politics about halfway through my career, but for over 20, almost 25 years now. And I'm extremely excited when I see somebody start hitting those growth markers, those milestones. I really am. You've turned into a great analyst. I probably have kissed your butt too many times this season already on this, but I mean it. You really have turned into a fabulous analyst, and I don't enjoy talking to people who are just idiots. I don't. You know that. I can't do just plain stupid. I can do funny stupid because I'm funny stupid at times too. Let's be honest. So I do funny stupid. I just can't do stupid people. Funny stupid is the best. But when you have turned into a brilliant analyst, you've taken me down in the challenge already once. Which nobody takes me down in the challenge. In 20 years, no one's ever beat me in picking football games for the season. And you kicked my butt. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you showing up all the time. You have the flexibility, the attendance integrity, and that's a huge one. And anything that you're doing because you do it for the love of it, and attendance integrity is a big deal. It's easy to show up when someone's cutting a check. That's all I'm really saying. And since this is a volunteer position for us, I'm just telling you that I'm really proud of you for being here. I really am. Now, with that said, we do have to do real work, okay? People like that. Okay. Do you have anything about that? You hear me? Okay, what happened? I'm like, is this guy even hear me? I know I'm coming through the broadcast, but I don't know if podcast feeds. I didn't hear you. It's super weird that I don't hear you. I wonder if your phone is doing that thing where it closes and locks. I told you, you literally have to go into your settings and let that app run.
Thing where it closes and locks.
Yep. And like I said, you have to go into your settings and you have to run in the background. And you have to do that because it's going to mess up the show. No.
I'll just press buttons constantly. I forgot.
Go into the settings real quick and let it run in the background.
I could, you know. I could.
So, because while we have a slogan called Unprofessional, that's the last thing I want to show, actually. Anyway.
Not even.
I want, when it comes to the production, it will be fully professional. When it comes to being what we say, that's it. So, yeah, please let your app run in the background so it stops cutting you off. Because when I'm in the middle of talking to you and I ask you a question and I don't get an answer back, that is piss poor.
I respond, though.
No, you don't.
That's the worst part.
You don't know it.
You just don't hear it. So,
right. That's why you need to turn it to run in the background and quit arguing with me on this one. It's a technical issue.
That's my job.
So, okay. Right, but it's a technical issue, so fix it, please. We have a bunch of shit to do. So, first off, in the NFL, a couple things to note. The owner meetings, that's right. Owner and rules meetings would be the right way to word that, I guess. Through the owners and rules meetings, the hip drop tackle has been banned. That is where you wrap somebody up at the hips and just throw your feet out from underneath you and sit into it and let your body weight bring them down.
Right.
A lot of controversy surrounding it. A lot of controversy. I mean, you even have guys like
Tom. You can destroy people's ankles and shit.
You have people like already coming out and going like, this isn't what we're supposed to be playing. But I will tell you that it's a little rich coming from the guy that is the reason why 90% of the quarterback rules past 2020 or past 2001 exist. Like, let's be honest.
You leave Tom Brady alone, sir. No,
I love you, Tom. Great. But, bro, you are why a lot of these rules that protect the quarterback, more importantly, exist. You are why a lot of the rules against the defense exist, because they realized that you were beyond ultra marketable, Tom, and other quarterbacks like you, Tom. And you know what it does when you're sitting on the bench hurt? It hurts the game. It hurts the game. Think about how disgusted my family and I were that we spent $125 a ticket for four people to go to the game.
And, right.
And Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson both did not play in that game. Both.
Because they were hurt. Yeah, that's some bullshit. You paid to go see those two play specifically.
I did not pay to go see their backup. I did not pay to go see the backup. We were all calling all the fans. But I didn't pay to go see the backup. So I guess, as on my political show, I tend to be the level-headed person who comes in and says there are two sides to this story. Just because we don't like the other side doesn't mean there aren't two sides. Let's have some integrity here, right? Well, there is two sides.
Right.
And I do think that the game, listen, people are like, you should play this game if you don't think you're going to get hurt. I could agree. I could not agree with you. You're right. You're absolutely correct. You should not play this game if you're scared you're going to get hurt. In that sense, right?
But you shouldn't expect to get hurt.
And that's just it. We shouldn't have rules that, so here's the deal is, this hip tackle thing was something like out of like 400 hip tackles, like 30 injuries happened. That's a lot, actually. That's a lot when you think about that. They went back and looked at like 400 hip tackles, and they were like 40 guys. There were like 40 injuries and 400 tackles, right? That resulted in season.
That's like 10% roughly.
That's like exactly. That's and that's the point I'm getting at is, if one single thing causes 10% every time of that happening. So one out of every 10 plays, you want a guy injured? Are you fucking serious? Are you fucking stupid? Are you a fucking moron? One out of 10 plays, you want a fucking guy? You pay millions to sit there and make millions doing nothing? One out of 10 plays? Are you fucking nuts? But at the same time, how the fuck are you supposed to tackle people in this league anymore? That's right. The other side of that story too. I agree that.
Chest up.
with your shoulder. You know, you can't lead with your head. You can't tackle from. How are you? At this point, let's put flags on them because that's about where we're getting.
I don't think so. Well, and then I look at you protect the receiver's head, but you don't protect the receiver's legs, right? But you protect the quarterback's legs. But that ain't how he really earns his money. Let's be honest. Now, listen, somebody's going to jump in and go at some point and either comment or be a twat and go, well, X, Y, and Z. And I'm going to go, yeah, but traditionally
ABC,
speaking.
ABC, one, two, three.
Maybe you and me. Yeah. All right, anyway. So
as you were saying, I didn't mean to interrupt. ADD.
No, no, I just do the ad-libs in there, too. Fun. So when you look at the game of football, I think that this may need to be relooked at. But I also do think that when you throw – like I see the other side. It's like when you throw your feet forward out from underneath you and just kind of throw your ass to the ground, if you would, mm-hmm. and if their legs roll up underneath you, you're going to roll an ankle. I mean, it's pretty inevitable that a 200-pound body is going to roll your ankle up. Right? Yeah. We've seen Achilles tears. We've seen high ankle sprains. We've seen so many things. But I got to tell you that the hip drop tackle was the solution to them not being able to really horse collar or grab you anywhere up around the shoulders or neck anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, you should be able to horse collar anybody. Anyway.
How are you supposed to make a clean tackle when all you're worried about is not making a bad tackle, right? That's an honest question. As a former, you know, I played both sides of the ball through high school, like everybody, right? And so I do have a perspective on the defensive side of the ball. And I would be asking myself, like, I played strong safety for context and slot corner. That's right. I was fast. Right. Slot corners are fast, you bitches. But anyway, I played slot corner. I played slot because I had good hips. You weren't going to just break off of me and take off on me like that. That's the real reason, if you want to know the truth. But I always make the joke that you might be able to keep up with me in a straight run, but when you have to actually cut and make moves, I'll fucking smoke you. Not now though, bad knees. But back in the day, anyway. So having a little perspective on both sides of the ball, I would tell you that I think it would be very complicated because I can tell you right now, when I played strong safety. Now this was late '90s when you could still crack a toe a bitch on a field and no one really gave a fuck. People thought it was awesome.
You hit with a hit stick.
But, dude, I was coming in there, hit stick ready every play. I was not thinking about, should I do this, that, or the other.
I'm trying to kill this motherfucker.
I'm thinking grab hold of anything I can and bring him to the fucking ground. And also, I'm not thinking about tackling you. That's a by any means necessary statement, right? Like, by any means necessary, I'm going to take you down. I'm covering the tight end, whether I'm blitzing from the safety position, whether I've got a receiver in the slot, I do not give a fuck. I am not thinking about all of this, right? In my mind, I'm thinking back to me as a youth. I'm thinking back to me. And maybe that's what has to change at the lower levels is getting the youth to think about these things before. Because my generation, which is the generation that's coaching these kids these days, right? My generation, we were taught, keep your head up, you know, get your head to the side when you fly in there. Don't spear in with your top of your head. You're going to fucking, you know, crush your neck and break discs in your neck and shit. Like, we were taught that. But like I said, that extra level of thinking, how am I going to tackle you? Just that's not something that I want to learn as a player, right? I don't. I want to learn how to kill you.
The safest way possible. I want to learn how to kill you.
How to kill you. So I have a hard time with this rule, and I knew this was going to take up a little bit of the show because I have a really hard time with this rule. I do. I really do. Because I agree that you can't have nearly 10% injuries on one specific type of tackle. That's crazy talk. Okay. You know, one out of every 10 guys goes down with a rolled up ankle and misses, you know, 3 to 5 games. That's just crazy to me that you would be okay with that. Right. Like, I don't spend all this money on gear. I don't spend all this money on tickets to watch the backups play. I don't. So I do see the fan side of this. I mean, bro, think about this. Like, for instance, here's a good example. We lost for Mario Williams on the switchbacks, and I'll talk about this later. We're having a rough go of it, right? And I'll get into that later in the show. But what I will tell you is that when I look at stuff and I'm just like, dude, Like, dude, like we took a precautionary measure with him and now we can't score. Yeah. As an example, right? Well, you take a precautionary measure. So I, what Tom was saying, and I do agree with Tom's statement on this, that the league is being bended towards the allowance of production of offense, right? Which is good.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll be real with you. I don't want a league that the rules are so stiff that the offense really can't score. Because let's be honest, the defense making stops is exciting, but the ball getting lit up for your team is the best part about it. So I think Tom is right in what he says, but I think that it's righteous and what we're doing it for, if that makes better sense.
Righteous, he said. Interesting choice of words, sir.
Thank you. What do you think about the new XFL like kickoff rules for the NFL? It passed in the owners' meetings, a vote 29-3.
I think it should be more exciting because bump this kicking the thing out of the end zone and it's automatically starting here, man. That's.
I think the XFL was brilliant.
Does something right.
Coming up with the idea of instituting a penalty, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to avoid letting your opponent touch the ball.
Exactly.
Because let's be honest, that's what it really is. You're scared of their return, man. So you kick it out of the back of the end zone, you take it at the 20 or the 25, depending on what league it is. And I just love that if you kick it out the back of the end zone, they're getting that ball at like the 35 or 45 yard line now.
Yeah, because that's just the purpose, man.
And I love that.
That's what
and
I love about the XFL. Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
I also love that if the ball, this is a little bit of a twist of the rule. If the ball bounces in the field of play and then rolls into the end zone and is not returned, it's actually a stiffer penalty for the offense. They get the ball at like the 20. I thought it should be the 15, if you ask me. Like, if you're going to be a little bitch and not return the ball after we change the rules for you, then a little bitch, take the ball at the 15. Yeah. And guys, before you think I'm pro defense, understand that I have spent my adult coaching career as an offensive coordinator and as a head coach and OC. I haven't coordinated defense once as a coach. I've only played as a player, never coordinated. So I'm telling you, I'm actually very offensive, pro offensive minded. But I just think when you're stacking the deck against even on the kickoff, like, oh, I just got kicked out back in the end zone, I guess about 25. What the fuck is that?
Right.
Or I don't got to let him return it at all. And what we're seeing as what we saw in the XFL was not a lot of injuries result from it, but we did see a lot of returns and good returns. So I think getting the kicking game back in the NFL is huge because basically the kickoff game is a waste of time. And that used to be, how you found talent in the backup realm.
Devin Hester's got found.
How a guy okay, maybe
fucking huge.
Well, Devin Hester was size. I'll just give you that. But size was his issue, and so he had to prove that his size wasn't a matter. But that's just it. In today's kickoff game, you would never know if Devin Hester had any real skill unless they were using him like as a slot guy or something crazy, right?
Exactly. You just wouldn't know. Use him as a punt returner or kickoff returner.
Yeah, you'd never know. Now, in other news, in basketball news, NBA star and kind of face of the NBA, one of the faces of the NBA, Giannis is out with an Achilles tear or an Achilles scare. I mean, many people hollering the echoes of Kevin Durant when he had a high ankle scare and it turned into an Achilles because a lot of people felt like Durant was rushed back in that situation. You know what I mean? Right. So good luck with, of course, Giannis and his healing. Like I said, when you talk about one of the couple handfuls of players that are the face of the NBA, Giannis is hands down one of them. So it's a big loss for the NBA, especially, and not only that, but this could be a huge, huge ordeal or turn into a huge ordeal for Milwaukee going into the playoffs that are about to start too.
Right. It was a non-contact injury either. Like, he was just running down the court and
that's the worst.
Oop. Right.
In other news, Stephon gone in Buffalo. Is Josh Allen him? Is he a Hemi? Is he Himothy the third? McHimothy. Is he him? I think I'm just going to say this. What have they done to pad Josh with Allen around him as it's exited?
I mean, he's only really had Stephon. He just got his, the tight end was a Daryl Hickson, right? Daryl Hicks. They didn't have like any running game that would try to take the pressure off of the throwing at all. So they never really did much to give that man a chance, but you got to get rid of one of the top stars. But then again, there's been rumors that Stephon has been wanted to get out of Buffalo for a while.
Yeah.
And now that he's in Texas, Texas will be a problem.
That's a couple things. You throw a lot of picks. Texas
right.
is a problem. I heard what you said, and you are right, by the way. That just clicked in my head. I was like, no, he's right, though. Texas is going to be a problem.
Yeah, Texas is going to be a problem.
They made themselves a problem last year when none of us thought they would be a problem, right? They made themselves
right.
a problem. I was literally gloating that we traded down with them because I was like, we're going to get a great pick next year. Nope, pick 27, I think, or 24 or some shit from them is what it turned into be. And they got a second pick overall out of us out of it. So I would argue that we lost that battle because we didn't get – I don't think we got a first-round pick next year for that. I don't think we did because it only moved us back like one spot or two spots or something. I forget. It's been a while. But anyway, I just think that Stephon will do better in Houston, I think. I don't believe that Josh is him. I've been saying that for a while. A couple seasons ago when I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and as I did not last year for a reason because – A couple years ago, he proved there's some things that he's done that I'm sorry, guys. So barring people like Dan Orlowski, who probably would be sucking his balls right now, the rest of us,
the normal people
who are not quarterback biased, as I'm going to say, right? Who are quarterback honest. And no offense, I mean, Dan Orlowski, you're great. Guy's a former NFL quarterback, guys. He's a great, great analyst. Probably one of the best quarterback breakdown guys you're going to get.
How do you run 25 yards out of bounds and still throw the ball? You tell me
and
that.
And I think that's why
he's an honest mistake.
I think that's why he picks Josh Allen, honestly. Because people who don't get the back of the end zone don't pick Josh Allen as him. I'm just like, come on, that was funny. Dan, we love you, dude. Great ESPN analyst. We love picking up people.
But he does. Josh Allen does have talent. He does want to listen at times, and sometimes he thinks he is him. And I'm like, nah, brah.
If you're throwing that many interceptions already with somebody there to pad you, what are you going to do when he's gone? I think we see regression from Josh Allen in all earnest.
Oh, definitely. All he's got now is his tight end. Does he have a running game? No.
I mean, well, now so you've got your tight end, right? But after your tight end, you've got one receiver, but I wouldn't call him a one. I'd say he's a solid two. He's a one on a really bad team, but do you want to be a really bad team? Okay? Like, honest question.
Facts. So that would actually make him like a number three.
He's a 2-3. But anyway, so I think the Bills regress this year. I think that the door will be open. I think the door will be open for the likes of either Miami or New York, should New York stay healthy. I think that's a question. We don't know how Aaron's going to come back. We just don't know. We don't know. And people are always like, oh, well, this guy and that guy and this guy came back from it and played fine. I'm like, they were fucking 25, bro. Get out of here with that shit. Dude's literally
like 36.
A decade and a half. 38, I believe.
Damn.
Yeah, dude, he's only like 2 or 3 years younger than me. He came out of college 2 years after my time in college.
Joe Flacco came back last year and led a team to the fucking playoffs. So,
bruh.
Mr. January himself.
But hey, I can't even.
Flacco ain't new Rodgers.
Fuck out in the first round of the playoffs. They were supposed to be the reason the Texans didn't go anywhere this year in the playoffs.
They still made it to the fucking playoffs, bro. I didn't say they got far. I said he took them to the playoffs. That's all I said.
Problem was CJ Himothy Stroud IV came in there and was like, "Bitch, please."
Not just CJ. Himothy. I mean, the entire team and the defense was really what it was.
Defense really stood up at times. They also gave up points at times too. So I believe it was the defense who really had to come up with the stop last year at the end of that game for them to move on, and they didn't. In local sports news, Switchbacks have started the season with 4 losses. The team has scored 1 goal in 4 games. So there's no production on offense. And I really think we are horribly missing Romario Williams, who is the Jamaican international who left right during the playoffs last year to go play for Jamaica. So we lost our best scorer right at the start of the playoffs. Talk about a fucking shit deal. I do believe that the USL has to figure out a way to compensate or pack games in earlier in years where there's international play. Because if you're going to buy great players that are making their national teams, that's great. Great for us as fans, right? But if you're going to do that,
definitely,
you have to be prepared to, like, how are you? We can't go into the playoffs missing Romario Williams. 18 goals last year. That's a little over, averaging a little over a goal every two games. And that's gone now. And so when I look at the team having one goal in four games, I don't care the 0-4 start if we were scoring and if it was competitive in my eyes, right? But it just hasn't been competitive. Right. We haven't been scoring. And worse off, our only goal is from a fucking defender. It's not even from the guys that are supposed to be scoring. Matt Mahoney. So it's just rough. It's a rough pill to swallow, I'll be like, honest with you.
How many points are they allowing, though, per game? Because that's what you really want. If it's like a point or 2 points a game, 3 points a game, then you're like, goddamn.
Two to three
teams, offense and defense.
A couple own goals. It's been a nightmare. We have to figure something out.
Step the fuck up, bro.
I'm literally not excited because of the way things are going, and it's frustrating because we are easily supposed to be better than this. And I just, we spent way too much money as a team to not be better. And that's frustrating. I think, you know, honestly, you could look at the likes of like the Dodgers, you know, super teams like that, or the Lakers, that, you know, how abysmal they really played a couple years ago with this super team. And honestly, between you and I think they were lucky to get to the finals last year against the Nuggets. I'm just going to say it, Lakers fans. I'm sorry. That's the truth. The truth is you shouldn't have been there. It should have been Phoenix. Let's just keep it 100 Pete moment, dog. 100 Pete moment. It shouldn't have been you. You weren't the team. You weren't the team that was even built to play Denver, and that's why they whooped y'all ass. Let's just keep it 100 Pete moment, right? So anyway, so that's my sports news on the local tip. Just frustrated as a local, you know, professional soccer fan. Super excited. The Champions League's rocking right now for soccer. There's a lot going on. The NHL playoffs are going to be coming up soon. We need to do a playoff preview too.
So that's going to be amazing. I mean, the Avalanche have kind of slid though in the past couple of games. So I don't know what's up with them.
I don't think we could win the division going forward because of those slips. So I'm like, hey, fuck it.
There's not many games left, my guy. There's like, seriously, like what, two or three games left, if I'm not mistaken? Because last time
there's not nothing left. I know we got a game tonight, and I think we have one more game after that, or two. One or two after that, I don't remember.
Yeah, because it was like seven games, and like I watched at least three of my Tampa Bay games. So we lost last night to a shootout. Not last night, the other night to a shootout, which pissed me.
Sucks. It sucks to lose.
Right?
The Avs are one of the weird ones where they'll go and just beat somebody like 5-1 and then come back around and lose like 4-1.
Right, and then come back and say 7-0. You're like, what the fuck?
You have to look at who's in net too, though, because sometimes who's in net is actually why it's that way, right? Like, for instance, we give up like...
Bro, y'all like did that to fucking the big cat, to Vasilevskiy. I'm like, don't tell me it's because who's in the net. One of the best goalies in all of hockey, and you're going to tell me it's just because who's in the net? We scored 7 goals.
I'm talking about on our net, you ass. Who's in net for us? Bad. So we have a young rookie kid that we put in a lot. He'll likely be the guy that, if he develops correctly, the guy here in like 2 or 3 years, right?
Didn't they already extend him? Like the new guy, right?
Yeah. So anyway, he's one of those ones where he's going to give up 4 or 5 goals, but if we score 6, we're going to win. I've seen that happen where we won like 6-5 in overtime, you know, or 5-4 in overtime when Anand was in net. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about the hockey playoffs coming up. Baseball starting up. Now, I won't lie to you. I don't really start getting into baseball until after...
Until September?
Usually until like mid-June, mid-June to sometimes July, depending on how deep into the playoffs the Spurs or the Avalanche go, to be honest with you. Depending on how deep in the playoffs they go. But once they're done and there's no soccer, no football, no nothing, I literally just watch baseball on TV. I'll just throw it on in the background. You know what I mean? Just listen to the game.
Generally, that's how I got into it. I mean, because... Up until before the All-Star break, it's kind of like spring training part two is what it feels like. Don't get me wrong, a lot of awesome things happen, but then it's after the All-Star break where things really start. We start talking about playoffs and then who's in the lead, how many games back you are, and the chase starts. So that's when it really gets exciting in baseball.
Oh yeah. I will say that I've got a trivia question for you. Your hint is soccer. And then, but I didn't like go dig deep for this one. I actually think it's rather easy, to be honest with you. Like, really easy if you watch the news, quite frankly. But whatever. He's like, wait, but I don't want, no, I'm just saying. If you pay attention to stuff that you do, you might get this right. My phone is promoting me to call into the show, and I'm like, but I'm the host of the show. I can't call in.
Hey, I found this cool live podcast.
All right. Hi, guys. Hi, guys. It's Trey. Checking in on my own show. Right, so, right, like, that's how some of y'all out there. Some of y'all you just need a little work.
Just a little work. Just a little bit.
Can I tell you something weird?
Sorry about that.
None of my sound effects are working today. Dead ass. I'm pushing them all right now, and none of them are working. Dead ass.
I mean, you might have to go after the show and remake sure everything's hooked up properly.
Correct. Well, no, I know we're recording because I have this.
No, I meant like the sound effect thing, board's hooked in properly.
Really low in the background that the microphones won't pick it up, that I can hear us. That's how I knew you and I had a problem earlier. Truth be told.
Yeah, because I'm like, this is some dope beats right here, I'm saying, but
I'm like, why isn't he responding to me? I'm literally patting him on the back and stroking his Johnson. He's not even saying anything nice to me about it. It hurt my feelings. So I will tell you that I think that it's going to be an exciting time coming up for the draft, too. The draft's here in a couple, what is it, next week or the week after? It's the week after, right? Yeah, it's the week after 420. It's always the week after 420. So, anyway, the draft coming up. Woo! Next weekend. The draft coming up, I think that's going to be an exciting draft. I'm really, really, really excited but nervous to see what the Cardinals do with that fourth pick. I'm very honest. Because I think there is at least three first-round draft picks to be had for that. This year's obviously whoever trades us for this year, right? And then the next right. 2 years and their next two eligible first round draft. Because sometimes they already like dealt it out. Like, all right, well, I'll give you 26 and 27 because I already dealt out 25. You know what I mean? But anyway, so I just think the number four spot with the best wide receiver to come out in probably 3 to 5 years. And also the top three receivers could all be number one receivers in any other draft by themselves, right? So I just think it's going to be a phenomenal draft. I think it's going to be amazing to see who really wants, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. Or the young lad out of LSU, Malik. I just wonder, you know what I mean? Who's going to jump and who's going to bite? And it's just exciting. I'm excited for this. I'm really excited for the NFL draft. You know, it's a big time for us around here. As a matter of fact, the quarterback draft 2.0 is up, coming up after the break, by the way. And I just want to tell our fans and our listeners and our friends and people catching the show later that there is some movers and shakers. I'm not going to do you dirty and just basically come in with the same order as last year. Because that's what I did last year. And I think the year before I had the same order. No. I think I dunked on Zach. But the problem with him was that I knew he wasn't going to be shit. I do that a lot. I mean, there's been a lot of quarterbacks that I've been like, hey, look, yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence.
He ain't him.
Trevor Lawrence is one that I've said that, like, he's good, but the draft class right after his or better this draft class, C.J. Stroud really messed everything up for him. And then, guys, I think people are forgetting the likes of Anthony Richards, who went out in injury last year, who was a rookie and was actually our front runner for rookie of the year at that time when he went down. Like, think about that.
Yeah, it was only 5 weeks in.
Yeah, at that time, though, he was killing it. The Colts were on fire, you know, like it was a legit thing going on over there.
Minshew was trying to do his thing, but it was not to be.
Yeah, the mustache magic, I think, just kind of fades away. A lot of these guys come with a little swagger into the league, and it fades out as they realize that it's a lot harder to contend and compete here than it is in college.
You just got to keep that swagger. That swagger is your edge. Once you lose that, you're just average.
I couldn't agree more.
Seems to me. It's like you were dope, and then you got punched in the mouth, and now you're like, oh shit.
How many times have I told you that bravado, that swagger, that it is probably the only reason I survived playing quarterback, because I was undersized. I'm absolutely the furthest thing from a prototypical size quarterback, right? And so that's why I'm like, dude, I survived, you know, like everything from backyard football to all of that off of just pure grit and, well, juke skills and stuff. You know, I was a pretty quick dude to begin with, but just even as a little old boy, my mom was like, even when I was like five, my mom was like, he's really faster than the other kids and not by a little bit. But so I just look at that and I go, dude, you can use other people, you know, in my case, I have some experience and some playtime that you can use, and you just go, you learn. Like, I had a tight end dude that was literally shorter than me, bro. That's not supposed to be that way. You understand what I'm saying? Like, dude was like 5'6".
Shorter? What the fuck?
Dude was like 5'6". Okay, so let me clarify. This was in City Rec League flag football. But still, your tight end shouldn't be shorter than your quarterback. Let's just call that what it is.
Ever.
But bro, the dude had hands. The dude had hands. Who do you think I threw that touchdown to after throwing those four interceptions at one time? I threw it to him. Because I knew that if I knew that no one was going to cover him because he was short and across the middle. And I knew that if I threw it to him, if I got anywhere near him, he was going to catch it. Caught it right up the seam and took it to the house for six because they forgot about his short ass.
That's how it be sometimes.
You just know. And that's why I'm bringing this up is that, well, it's in no way, shape, or form even remotely close to be able to compare to anything remotely close to like the NFL or collegiates played. But what I'm getting at is that – you, no matter where you play, whether it's, you know, high school contact, college contact, pro, semi-pro, amateur, flag leagues, arena, it doesn't matter. You know a guy when he's got it, no matter what size he is, no matter, you know, what his stature, his build, right? He just has it. And you know it, that bravado. And you know, they say real recognize real. So when you got a little, like, bravado to your game, you know who on the team don't, for sure.
Yeah. But you also know the sleepers, the ones who don't show that bravado, but once they get on the field, it's a whole nother story. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying is in practice, you pick that up so you know this guy's going to show up in the game. Even if he's quiet on the sideline, he's not some lunatic who screams at everybody like I do, because that's me. I coach when I'm not playing. And so even when I was a player, I was told not to coach, I still coached. Nobody really tells you not to coach, but my coach would be like,
they sit there and tell you, shut the fuck up, Trey.
Right, but you need to know your place.
You can't control everything, sir.
Indeed. Let's do this, though. What I can control is when we go to break and I go get some more coffee. That is one thing I'm absolutely in control of in this world right now. So let's do that. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, though, I want to talk about the NCAA women's TV viewings. I want to talk about Hermathy.
History making.
I want to talk about Caitlin Hermathy Clark V. I want to talk about Angel Hermathy Reese the 13th. I don't know. I just threw a number out there. I don't remember her jersey number. Fuck you, man. So anyway,
I think she's like the 10th.
I want to talk about. I want to talk about just so many beautiful, talented. And I don't mean because of their looks, because we are talking about women's basketball, although some of them are very beautiful women. Don't
damn,
get me wrong.
Damn, dog, really?
But that's not what I meant.
But then again, it does sound sexist to say, I mean, there's some hot fucking players. I'm like, no, but there are some beautiful players who play on size. I'm like,
players that play collegiate basketball, yes. But what I'm trying to get at is, one, I'm old enough to be the daddy, so just don't spike like that with my punch. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And also,
that's what I'm saying.
Daughters their age, right? So anyway, but I was just gonna say they're very beautiful in the sense of the way they play the game. Like Caitlin Clark, bro, she strokes threes on people that is just a beautiful. Have you watched her shoot?
And where she does it from, it's just like,
oh my god. And just
nasty.
And then you got people like I said, like Angel Reese, just consummate defender, great in the post down low, can put up bucket, you know, and us getting to see that battle from that last year's national championship game again. And
yes.
Caitlin Clark capitalize and get her victory over LSU, right? This big, now for the normal fan, that's not racist, bigoted, a hater or some prick dude, right? For the normal fan, right? We loved this battle between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And I hope that this very respectful, challenging, assertive way they played.
Like she got fouled out at the
I hope that continues to the next level with the big girls, with the grown ass women, with the grown ass women. Speaking of which, I just want to say that Phoenix signed now I'm of course draw a blank here and look like an idiot.
It's okay. You do that naturally, so
I'm just excited the Mercury are bringing people back, and then I blank it, and I go to look at my notes, and if I don't have it written down, all I see is my notes, and that's all I can think about. I'm dead ass. Like, that is my life. Anyway, but we do got to take a break. When we get back, like I said, we're going to talk about that. We're going to do the quarterback draft 2.0, and then I have a soccer trivia question for P. And of course, P, I just want to ask you what, like, you want to talk about, if you got anything.
Yeah, not really. Just, you know, surviving, living.
God. Let's go to break.
Yo, son, Breaking Big America Radio.
Tell your friends about this.
Tell your friends up in the GS3. I got the chronic by the tree.
I just came back from vacationing in Italy, which, or as they say over there, vacationing in Italy! Literally, I don't speak any Italian. That's how I survive the whole time. It really works. Where's the restaurant? Came home, though. Came home from the trip, and one of our cats died. Yeah, it's all right. We had three, so two more to go. No, we love the cats. We're cat people. We love the cats. We love them. But we dog sat for a dog. And my daughters hung out with a dog for the first time. They're like, oh, this is pretty amazing. Like, you like it and it loves you back and doesn't try and scratch my sister's eye out. Can we get one of these? I was like, yes, you can get one of those. I will get you a dog. As soon as the cats pass, I'll get you a dog. And the next day, bam, one down. Yeah, not even a tear. I didn't even see a tear. Kids were just walking around like, what's a collie like?
This is your station. I like this right here. The People's Station. Monuments. Falcon.
Here comes the heat, y'all. All right, it's time to have that talk. Yeah, I'm talking to you, homeowner. Don't you try to run away, townhome renter and apartment renter. Look, every time we move, they charge us a ridiculous amount of money. Every time you need something remodeled, those people charge you a ridiculous amount of money. So this time, when I moved, I got my whole deposit back. Now, I can't promise you the same results, but what I can tell you is I went through Quality Peak Customs. That's right. That's handyman and remodeling. And at Quality Peak Customs, they're going to take care of you the best they can to help you get the best job you can. So whether it's moving out, needing your apartment brushed up for the handover, your townhome, you want to rent that out, you need it fixed up for the big remodel, hey, that house. When's the last time you've done something? Well, when you do it, why don't you call Quality Peak Customs at 719-964-6871. That's 719-964-6871. You can also email Quality Peak Customs at qualitypeak.customs@gmail.com for your free quote today. You can check out Quality Peak Customs on Facebook as well. Let's go with Quality Peak Customs for your next move, your next remodel, or the next time you need a helping hand around your home.
Look, everybody loves creativity, good food, and hard work. That's why it's so easy to love Sam's Creations. Sam's Creation is award-winning cannabis food creations. Find Sam's Creations on Facebook and Instagram with Sam's with a Z, Creations with a Z. Or place your order today at 719-283-1701.
Are you troubled by pop culture references in the middle of the night?
Do you or a loved one experience feelings of dread finding collectibles in your attic or basement? Joey, have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Control-Alt-Throw-Against-Wall.
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your mind-numbing needs. We're ready to believe you.
Gonna be that old guy in sandals and khakis with a butt.
I've been saying this for how long?
Like I can't step outside naked.
We jumped into the river.
What did you do? Did you run along the riverbank?
I let autocorrect make me look stupid on Facebook every day. With Luxembourg. I can't do it.
It's Luxembourg.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. That's what they all say.
You gotta give me the hump to the hump to get something.
Oh, look at you, girl.
Sexual tracking app on it, and it found that
who is actually using that? Welcome home, gentlemen from the 4th Infantry Division, 4th ID.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. I think he was trying to be funny, but it kind of escalated.
I think he was trying to hit her on a discount. Oh,
he used to
listen to
him, but they played the same old.
Hey, it's your girl, Cammy Renee, and you're listening to Wake and Bake America Show. You know I bring you the best.
We're smoking.
It's time for what? Football Talk.
In trouble, gets away. Mahomes racing with the bad ankle and all. It's
out of the right now, carrying his little briefcase with his little...
Out in the streets?
Yep, with his little briefcase and his cut-off hoodie. His hoodie was cut-off sleeves. Poor little sleeves are lost in the cutter. Go home. A little puppy. And that's how Bill Belichick's career is.
So Parsons on the move. And Micah Parsons is in.
He's a fool.
Hey, tell me you didn't grow up in the projects without telling me.
I grew up with a Jason, though.
Pulls out. Hutchinson has it. And he's to the 20-yard line. Aiden Hutchinson with a takeaway.
I hope it fucks your life up. I hope you fail. I hope you fall flat on your face. I'm like, these are my friends. This is us.
Ball comes out of his hand toward the end zone.
I personally cannot twerk. I used to be able to twerk until I took a twerking injury. Tried to do the whole wall twerk upside down. Took an injury. I've never twerked the same again.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
All right, Champagne Poppy.
What up, Champagne Poppy?
Suckers.
How you doing? So, before we get to break, we were really starting to talk about some fun stuff. Before we get into the women's basketball, because it is already, we are literally in the middle of a problem or whatever. Not a problem. Why did I say a problem? It is a problem. We are on the show right now while there's a USFL football game or UFL football game on.
Speaking of UFL, these past two weeks, I haven't been able to recall, but. I haven't watched some of them, and Jesus, like, we really cannot say who's going to win a game until the very fucking end. Case in point, Memphis versus Arlington. Do you know about the fourth quarter, 2 minute thing? If you're behind, they just get, like, in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes to go.
It's
the weirdest fucking rule ever, but
because of that... St. Louis, bro, Battlehawks should have got that win against Michigan, and they literally kicked a 64-yard field goal to win.
See, you can't. It's been amazing this year, so I don't really know who to really root for. Like I said, I want to watch and see how they play.
Hey, that kicker for Michigan, I can't think of his name off the top of my head for the Panthers. That kicker for the Panthers will be playing in the NFL, bro. You're not just going to come out there and swing 64-yard field goal. Five games and not have at least a tryout of five. Good kicking is hard to find, bro. Good kicking.
Wait a minute. A kicker.
I take that back. Good kicking is not hard to find because if from 40 up, right? That's 50. I'm saying from 40 up, 50 less, 50 or less, right? Good kicking is not hard to find. It's once you pass the 50-yard distance that it starts to become hard to find a great kicker, right? again. Anyway, while he gets himself back in here, let's go over the games right now for this weekend. Now, I'm going to go with the games that are actually on first because that seems to be like a smarter way to go about this, okay? So, the games that are not on first, right? Okay? You listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I'm going to put on that jazzy blues music.
Oh.
And just turn it up for a second, guys. Oh, that's sexy. I love that piano. That's sexy. Check out that video I sent you of Mr. Trey makes a beat. Motherfucker said, you can't make a beat in 15 minutes. I was like, you're right. 12 to 13 times. So anyway, it was an ex-business partner of mine. We used to really push each other and really talk a lot of shit to each other to really honestly drive each other to be better artists and better producer, better people, better business guys. And you also will either break the other person or you'll make them better. Right? To be honest.
Yeah. I mean, there's different ways to achieve the same thing. But no, I get that.
I like to drill sergeant
mentality. It's a fine line. You gotta know how far to push is all it is. Just kind of how far you can push before you break the
person. Drill sergeant mentality. I do. I like the drill sergeant mentality. I like pushing you just to right to your breaking point to see what you really fucking can accomplish, achieve, and become. I do. I believe that, you know, like they say, character isn't forged on the sidelines. It's forged in the trenches. Battle, right? So that's why I believe that. I just believe that when you're really, like, when you're in the thick of stuff, like when we're like working, right, and everything goes fucking sideways, how we get it back up and running, like how quickly we fixed it today and just got back to it, right? That's where you see the character.
Though, but yeah.
Well, but it was you that started to say something where I noticed that maybe you're not hearing me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, and then once I realized there was a problem, we just killed everything, and I called you on the phone, we fixed it, and we were right back at it again. And that's the difference right there. It's the little things like that that make a team tick, bro. And football's no different, by the way. And and how quickly you adjust on the fly, great segue, by the way, how you adjust on the fly is absolutely fundamental and critical to everything that matters in everything, right? So, yes. I'm fascinated by how well these teams adjust on the fly in the UFL. Can I just say that?
Dude, it is insane.
Right?
They took the best of both parts of the XFL and the USFL and put them together. This is unreal.
Have a baby. What happened? I mean, I say it that way. Okay, so maybe that's not exactly what happened, if I'm being honest.
Right. Well, let's keep it real.
But if you ask the Treasy, they fucked and had a baby, okay? Thank you. Because I like sexual innuendos into stuff because, well, let's just say if you know me, you know me, right, P? we'll just shut up and move on. He's a super freak. He's super freak. Hey, that's like my theme song. Anyway, okay, so let's do this. So coming up tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Mountain, the 1-1 Battlehawks will be taking on the 2-0. By the way, I'm very impressed with the San Antonio Brahmas. I told you at the beginning of the season they were my second favorite team in the league, and I just didn't want a bunch of teams in Texas. That's why I didn't pick them. You know what I mean? So
right.
Also, I really just love the Battlehawk blue, but that yellow and gray, that yellow and gunmetal gray that San Antonio has, fucking sexy. Let me just tell y'all.
I don't know that the Memphis team colors is
Showboats with the blue, white, and I don't know. I kind of get almost like a midshipman for the Naval Academy. I kind of get a midshipman.
A fucking cassette tape?
No, it's a goddamn, no. Okay, first off, can I giggle? Because I get why you might think that, because there is a round thing on there. No, it's a fucking riverboat, you dick.
Is there one of them that has like that? I swear to God, I saw it for like a split second. That's probably also why I'm saying it.
It was a riverboat. I think you saw the round paddle and thought something weird, because it is kind of like rectangle shaped.
A split second logo type deal. I was like, oh, that's fucking dope. But no, it kind of makes sense, though, because
the rudder wheel on a riverboat, that's what it is. I think that's what you saw. This is great. This made my fucking day. So anyway, the San Antonio's, honestly, the Brahmas have been playing lights out, and the Battlehawks, again, could easily be 2-0 if it wasn't for a fucking 64-yard field goal, bro. Seriously. Which I was even like, man,
he might make it, but then they was like, man, he was just drilling these all practice. And I was like, fuck, we're in there. We're fucking in Ford Field. It's indoors. There's not a lick of wind. Fuck. You know what I mean? He's going to make it. Anyway, speaking of Michigan, the Panthers and their just unreal kicker, by the way, is going to be taking on the Houston Roughnecks, who are actually struggling this year. They were a really good team in the prior leagues, right? But they are 0-2 and struggling this year. But look, hey, when you have eight, listen to me, every week someone has to lose. Okay. So a great team. And if I remember, didn't the Roughnecks, it was a Houston team that had PJ Walker, who's now in the NFL. So that, you know, they lost talent 2 years ago when he went to the NFL.
Right.
You know what I mean? They were really good in, like, was it 2000? They won the XFL championship before the league. Technically, they won it before the league got shut down, or the USFL one or whatever.
Yeah, it was only five games in, but yeah.
That can't be it because only because the, because what you call it?
Birmingham won those five games in.
Birmingham won their two championships that league had, which, like I said, I don't entirely.
When it came back then.
I'm going to be honest.
I
don't entirely respect a team winning two championships when you played all home games the entire time while everyone else did not even have a home game and had to play at your house every time. There's nothing worse than being the home team against the team, but you got to play them at their house. So it's not your home game anymore. So I'm going to be honest with you. I think we have to just kind of look the other way on the XFL and UFL championship. Just kind of look the other way and just – turn a blind eye to them and say, you know, there's a lot going on COVID. Like I said, all games for the USFL were played in Birmingham. It's why we didn't support the league, because you didn't have a real league. You had like a weird, like 8-week tournament, basically hosted by Birmingham. Italians. I mean, honestly, for 2 years. So, but I want to get into that because I don't want to be too negative. I just want to point out the facts as they are of why we didn't support the league, why I don't like either of the XFL or the Birmingham
Birmingham, huh?
I mean, that's going to really cost the Birmingham championship. The only one that won it.
Facts.
It's the Birmingham championships when it comes to the USFL. But no, seriously, I love that we have home games. I love that they kept the best parts of the XFL, which were home games, and the kickoff.
Right.
Games,
you know? I also love the fact that they're able to use other places. You, like, if your place doesn't have another stadium or whatever, you can use like the college stadium, or in Michigan's case, fucking Ford fucking Field. You know, I mean, that's actually kind of dope. So it brings that extra little bit of layer of true Lions home field advantage.
Yeah, I love the Lions weren't bitches about that and let them use, you know, obviously the team has to pay to rent the field, but the stadium. Yeah. And remember, the stadium isn't owned by the Lions. It's owned by the city. Never forget that part. It may be
that's what I'm saying. It's awesome they can do that.
You know, depending on how the contract was put up, you know, usually it's some money from the team, so they do own some of it. And then, or there's a lease where the team puts up money for the lease and then the taxpayer pays for the rest, right? There's always a way it's done. For those of you that don't know how these things get ironed out, as they say, that there is a, you know, there's actually a way that it's done that's proper like. But anyway.
Well, if season passes, pay for most of it.
Yeah. So. I will tell you that the Stallions 2-0 are going to be taking on the Memphis Showboats, who are struggling as well, or at least struggled last
week. No, their last game, that's what I was talking about with the fucking 2-minute fucking rule. They're down by – it's weird. It was a weird thing. I can't explain it, but how they lost that game was fucking crazy. It should be 1-1. That's all I'm going to say. Or maybe 2-0.
It is. You have like a one and done, make it or break it for a 14-yard first down or something like that.
Yeah.
You basically have to get
4th and 16 or 4th and 12. If you make it, you get the ball. Yeah. I love it. Don't get me wrong, but that's just, damn.
I will say that definitely puts the defense on their heels because you're like, look, we're ahead. We don't really have to stop them. We just need to slow them down so they run clock. That does not apply here in this league, okay? Let me just make that clear.
Yeah, you have to stop.
You have to get a stop.
I love.
Then if they score, you have to get a stop again. Like, I think that, you know, listen, let's be honest. Offensive scoring plays in any sport are why they're fun. We don't watch a 1-2 baseball game for the pitching unless you're a diehard. Let's just be honest, right?
Right.
You don't want to see a 3-0 football game because that's trash in your eyes. Let's be honest, okay? So anyway, the Birmingham Stallions later on today will be at 5 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Eastern, will be taking on the Memphis Showboats in Birmingham. And then I just want to tell you guys that right now the Arlington Renegades just scored a touchdown, actually, on the D.C. Defenders. And so Defenders are on the road down in Texas today. So the likelihood of the awesome and amazing and world-renowned Beer Snake, it's not happening.
Not today, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, not today.
How about Michigan pulling in, 25,000 fans every game?
Bro. They're trying to. There was a Pack Ford Field whole initiative this week,
right?
For the Houston Roughnecks game, they're trying to do what happened in St. Louis, which is where, and also there was somewhere else that happened too recently. I don't remember. It may have even been in Michigan. Right. But I know in St. Louis, they sold out the game so quick that they actually had to open upper deck tiers that they never intended to open and sell tickets in.
It's awesome. That's pretty awesome. St. Louis is a
football town tonight. Honestly, between you and me, to not have a NFL team, St. Louis is a really good football town. So that's the lineup for the UFL. Also, another huge breaking news recently that I think is noteworthy at the very least to bring up is the Phoenix Coyotes will be moving to Utah. Yeah.
Hockey, huh? Utah's gonna have a hockey team.
Yeah, Utah hockey, huh. Buddy. Yeah, Utah hockey coming. Utah hockey is coming, bud.
But now there goes your hockey team in Arizona.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
So outside of the coolness of having Gretzky involved and everything with the team and all that, outside of that, it's just it hasn't been a team that's done very well. It's been a team that's been there since I was in college. Dude, I used to win tickets to their games when I was in college. They've been there a long time. Usually after about 20 years, unless you have an insane fan base, usually between the 20 to 25, maybe 30 year marker, where that's usually what teams get, they usually get a 20 year lease deal after they've been in town for 5 or 10 years, So, right. Long story short, I've been going, I used to go to their games. I used to win tickets to their games all the time when I was in college, and they're fun to go to. I used to take my little nephews who are adult people with children now. I used to take them to the games and stuff, man. It was real fun. And, so it's in that sense, it's a little piece of my youthful sprite years that's leaving the city, but because I haven't lived back home in so long, it's been almost 30 years since, it's been 20. Well, I did live there for about 6 months in 07 for a job, but I didn't really move back permanently, but anyway, I just think it's just sad to see them go, but I just don't, if let me put it this way. If you're not a fan of that team, you are saying, why hadn't they moved? I'm starting to wonder if there's a basketball team that may move back to Seattle. That's a good basketball town, to be honest with you.
I'll bring back the Supersonics. No, we can't really be the Supersonics because the Supersonics are the Thunder.
Yeah, that's all tied into that franchiseness. You'd have to buy the name rights, kind of something like what the Houston Texans basically bought those naming rights from the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Chiefs are the old Dallas Texans or some shit like that. But anyway, so let's do this though. So I just want to share some couple pieces of news before we get into the next piece here. The next piece is, all the single ladies, okay, that's probably not the right song for this situation. Some of them are married, have husbands, fiancés, etc., wives, boyfriends, whatever. But still, Beyonce moves me. All the single ladies. The NCAA basketball ladies.
Country album?
Bro, I want to give y'all a Cowboy Carter. Yeah, I want to give y'all a shout. I think, and by the way, I guess I am an idiot. It is her that sings the song Ho Down.
Yeah.
Remember, I couldn't remember. I was like, I'm not even sure who sings. I'm not going to lie to you. My daughter showed it to me, and it was a girl on TikTok that was definitely not the real artist, so I don't know who it was. Oh, yeah, it turned out it was her.
Texas Hold'em, you mean?
Is that the name of the song?
That's the name of the song.
Where she's like, girl, you better hoe down or whatever?
I don't know, probably. Who knows?
Bro, it's great.
She's got a whole fucking album out, so I don't fucking know.
Go check it out.
Go
check it out, yeah. So you ready for this?
Go check it out. I'm ready for this.
So what a year for women's basketball, first off. What a year for women's basketball.
Congratulations to South Carolina, by the way.
Brittany Griner re-signed with Phoenix for another season, the Mercury.
That's right.
Probably a smart move because we don't have a top pick. We don't have a top 15 draft pick or top or even top 12 or whatever. We don't have a lotto pick. So we don't have a top pick this year. It's got to be a trade or something that we lost it on because we were fucking horrible last year. We didn't make the playoffs or nothing. So the year before, we were really good. Well, Brittany was in prison in Russia, bro. Remember?
Yeah.
A lot fucking happened. Weed is not a hell of a drug. That's cocaine, according to Rick James. Now, anyway, 13.8 million viewers. I just want to go through some numbers here. 13.8 million viewers. The NCAA women's scoring champion, the NCAA scoring champion outright, the back-to-back, Carolina's, not back-to-back, but Gamecocks comeback victory for them to win the national title game. And at its peak, 24 million people were tuned in to watch South Carolina, Iowa. I was one of them. I checked it out too. Iowa was not doing very well. I will say this. I think Caitlin Clark is literally going to probably end up becoming, if she, you know, barring injury and trends right, she will likely become the Stephen Curry he's going to become Steph Curry, bruh. Or she's going to become Steph Curry of women's basketball, I think. You know, think about it. He goes to UC Davis because, like, the likes of places like Duke and Kentucky and so on and so forth didn't want him, right? Mm-hmm. She goes to Iowa because UConn didn't want her. You know what I mean? Like,
that was her dream school, too. I was like, God damn.
Like, the writing's on the wall that the storyline's very, very similar to me. So 24 million basketball fans tuned in at the peak of the women's championship. Guys, we saw something that we didn't see. And I'm going to tell you, I know there were people in there that were like, I'm here because the black girl on LSU, and I'm here because the white girl in Iowa. I saw the comments on Instagram and so on and so forth on social media. So I could tell you that I don't need to pretend like that's just how it always is. No, I just saw the comments. It was clearly, there's a lot of race baiting and race driven stuff in there. And it pissed me off because the best part is these two girls want no part of it. And they actually respect the hell out of each other. And there's, and if they don't end up getting drafted by the same team, then they're going to end up having some really good battles through the years as they're going to be coming into the same draft and so forth.
Oh yeah. If you draft the two to the same team, you're going to have some trouble.
Right. So I think that I know there are more people watching women's basketball.
Yes, sir. Last year and this year than in 20 years. Let's be real, because that's about as long as it's been televised, so to speak.
So now the question becomes, who's more popular, right? That's what happens after this kind of stuff happens. Like, who's more popular, the men or the women? And I'm going to tell you, the numbers don't lie. Care. Every year, the men smoke the women in viewership. It's a done deal every single fucking year, okay?
Oh, yeah. But the women are growing steadily.
Hold on. For the first time in American history... One more time. The first time in American history, the NCAA women's viewership outviewed the men. The numbers do not lie, and it was by more than 4 million viewers, by the way. So it's not a little bit. It's a bit of it, right? It's a whole ass half of New York City of it. For the first time in U.S. history, the women's basketball championships, NCAA championships, posted 18.9 million viewers. For the final, right? While the men's final this year posted a 14.8 million viewers, letting the women win by 4.1 million viewers. Ladies, wow.
better game, let's be honest.
I was one of them. It's a better shooter's game if you want to know the truth, yes.
Yeah. There was more build-up and hype. And it was... The men's, don't get me wrong, UConn versus Purdue, great game, yes, but UConn was fucking destroying people on the way there, man. So that was like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. That kid from Purdue is just brilliant. Or a national Canadian.
Yes.
Or whatever. Anyway, oh yeah, people was losing their fucking mind because he can't take part in NIL deals because he's a foreign national and stuff like that. And I was thinking, well, just get NIL deals from your own country. And they're like, well, they're not as big because this is, you know, the American market's bigger. But my problem is this. Are you okay with, hear me out, America? Because I get it. You know, people want to come here and make that guap, that American guap. I get it. But hear me out here, America. Do you want money being taken from hardworking, deserving American basketball, in this case, the American athlete, right? When the rules clearly state for a athlete, you know, for a college or athlete visa that you can't do that, right? So, because they're like, oh, well, this isn't fair and this isn't fair. And I'm like, oh, it's absolutely fair. It's been a rule for like ever. It's literally been the rule forever. You cannot come here and benefit from your free college already. You know what I mean? Financially, you cannot financially benefit from your free college like that. You just can't do that. It's not allowed. It used to not be allowed for the regular players too, guys. Don't get me wrong. But I just thought it was fascinating. Like, I just thought it was fascinating. People were losing their mind over it. I was like, really? I was like, dude, it's been the rule forever. You're pissed off about a rule that has existed and in my eyes should exist, because if my kid's from here, and look, I get it. Maybe he is a better player, but if my kid and his kid are competing for the same U.S. dollars, right? And a foreign nation. Listen, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but if a foreign national is going to be taking finances out of my kid's hands on an NIL deal, when realistically you're already here on a free college scholarship in this country, right? And you're getting a free U.S. education, free U.S. TV exposure because, you know, you're playing a collegiate sport at a high level, right? I disagreed with the masses and said, no, I don't think you should be a foreign national, come here as an athlete on a free education run, and then turn around and on top of that, take NIL deals away from American kids who are doing these deals with American companies. And I know I sound like a nationalist prick right now, but podcast people tell you, go listen to his show, and whatever you are part of, you will think he's the opposite of. So I'm not. I believe in fair and honest and legal immigration and things like that. I'm not one of those pricks, okay? I just want to say that. But what I'm saying is that when you come here, and you've heard me talk about in politics, be about immigration, even on that, when you come here, there's rules. There's rules you have to abide by to come, and then there's rules you need to abide by when you're here. And if you think those rules are unfair, then get somebody to change it in Congress or whatever. But I just cannot stand people coming here and bitching about the rules because you can't benefit financially from your collegiate career like a U.S. citizen can. And that's the key word.
You shouldn't be allowed to anyway. No, I get that.
It's a U.S. citizen. It's the same reason why your wife or husband from another country can't just show up and start working. They have to earn that right. You understand what I'm saying? Because they could be taking a very valuable job out of someone else's hands who has been here working. Oh my God. See, this is why I can't even have the conversation. You know, I didn't even want to bring up the Purdue kid situation because I knew that it would become a South Park Purdue. I knew that's what it would become. No, but you're right. How people act. And I'm like, look, he gets the benefit of the NBA. He's going to be rich one day because he's that talented.
Yes, but not.
I just think that the name, image, likeness deals for U.S. athletes, and the key word there is that law protects U.S. athletes. So I just want the people of Purdue and fans of his to understand. I do feel for you in the sense of, I want you to make your paper, dog. But you have to make your paper the right way. You got to do your time here in the U.S. making your paper the right way. And then you're going to go to the NBA where there are no rules against foreign nationals having NIL deals with U.S.
companies. Just enter the draft, bro. There you go. Make some money.
Like you could just go do like NABA. You could just go do NABA commercials or whatever, you know? Like you could do some real, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You could. But you can't do it now because you're in college and you're earning you listen, people go, well, but he's good and da da da, and he earned that free college. You do realize that every time a college sponsors a foreign national kid to come and have a free education at their university, that's one less free education going to a U.S. student. And again, I'm not a nationalist prick, but you have to actually think about that. So because you're already taking that from someone here, in a sense, I mean, you earned it. I don't want to say take, but because you're filling that spot, a U.S. kid can't go to that college and have that scholarship now, right? So that's what your benefit is. The benefit is that you get to be there when you really are from another country, and we could tell everybody to fuck off and go, you know, play, do stuff in your own countries and develop your own ways. And if you get good enough, you can come here. But no, we have a very big, you know, international thread back and forth.
For some people, that's how we would be, but...
Oh, Jesus. See, this is why I did not want to do this. Okay, so I'm going to move on now.
I stopped. I just made one statement.
No, but the worst part is that you're not entirely wrong, and that's what makes me upset, and that's why I want to move on. Because like I said, I will say this. That kid absolutely, based purely on talent, deserves his scholarship and deserves to be here. But that is how he's benefiting right now. Your NIL deal doesn't mean anything to normal, the everyday average Joe like me, because you're already benefiting by having a place at a U.S. school that could have been easily forced to have to go to like a U.S. kid or something like that, right? Because in some countries, they don't let you go to school in their country. You're not from there, you can't go to school here. Sorry, bye. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, that's why it's very rare to see somebody from Cambridge, like, that's American. That's weird, unless they're like, they're ultra rich.
Right. So anyway, well, you know, in New Zealand, you have to have like a minimum net worth of like something like $5 million, $6 million to even be able to like buy a piece of property there or to become move to New Zealand or become a citizen of New Zealand. You got to walk in, like, bro, you got to walk in the door rich as fuck to become a New Zealand citizen. It's crazy. Unless you're born there. Like, that is a place where it is a benefit. In a sense, it is a benefit to be born there, because otherwise, to become a citizen there, you have to be ultra wealthy. You know what I mean?
Facts.
So anyway,
not before you even get there,
some rich pricks like that's not ultra wealthy, and we're like, "Fuck you, bro." To us, it is. Okay, to us, it fucking is. All right, so let's do this. It's time for the quarterback draft 2.0. And look, I'm not even going to kid you guys. We're not going to spend 40 minutes going over these guys as tangible stuff. If you want to hear an in-depth look at each one of these guys, really in-depth, right, V? Go back a few episodes to the quarterback draft 1.0 episode, and for Blunt Football Talk, and you can see the in-depth stuff that I saw on film that I talked about. I still have those notes right here in front of me, but I've reordered my quarterbacks now. I have a new order. Okay?
Ooh, but somebody just stepped up, showed some promise, and some people just choked, huh?
So if I told you it's not because of anything they did, it's just I think that's what's going to happen. Would you take that instead?
Yeah, I get that.
Because I just think this is what's going to happen. So first off, I just think Jake May is going to be the third quarterback off the board after Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, but he's not on my board. So no, I'm wrong. I'm lying. I have my board set up entirely different. Okay. By the way, it's still 6-3 in the UFL right now. The DC Defenders trail by 3. Arlington has the ball with Mr. Spring himself, Luis Perez, and they are in DC Defender territory. A little over 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Just kind of an update. And they Arlington right now producing a 3rd-and-4. Luis back to pass. He's got a man wide open in the end zone. It's a touchdown. Oh, it's a touchdown. Teddy, well, live calls right here on the show sometimes, right?
Look at that. Look how beautiful that was.
That was a beautiful
pass. Actually, there.
Wide looking open, too. Wide open. All right. So,
I knew that as soon as he threw the ball. I was like, ooh.
I didn't know it, but once they got the camera there and I could see he was wide open, I was like, oh shit, no one's there. The safety's down. Right there. Safety gets caught flat footed and he's never over. He never even tries to get over to help.
Right. Then, he was going for the low man.
He's never been there. Dude, they had no safety. That guy that's running there. He covered the wrong guy. I think I just caught what happened. Yeah. He covered the wrong guy. Yep. You could tell he bit on the wrong thing.
Uh-oh. He's going for 2. And they made it.
Oh!
That's a 2-point.
He must be ahead of me. Oh, he's so fast. Oh, that is a touchdown. I mean, that is a score. Yeah. All right. Anyway, sorry. So,
I must be. How am I ahead of you?
One of the best parts of spring ball, these games are on when we're doing our show, and this makes it really fun to just kind of like pause for a second. You know, I, for those of you that don't know, I used to be an actual live broadcaster calling games and live in the moment. That's kind of felt a little natural and fun there for a minute. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, back to the quarterback draft. So no change at 1 and 2.
I've got the Wildcat.
Right? No change. No change in my quarterbacks from 1 and 2. I've got Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2. I don't see what would make anyone switch them around per se, right? So I think that the Bears are dialed in 1,000,000% on drafting Caleb Williams. They don't have any desire to look at Jaden Daniels, you know? And so I just don't think there's any reason for me to change my draft board based on that, right? I think these guys go 1 and 2. Now, I'm not changing my draft board to mimic anyone else out there because I don't think you guys are right. And that's not me. Listen, that's not a dig on nobody. I just don't think you guys are right. So I'm going to go to the end of my draft. But you're wrong, motherfucker. No. Anyway, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying you're not right. Take it how you want to. That's some real gaslighting shit right there, isn't it? I'm not saying you're wrong.
You're wrong, but you're not right.
But you're not right, and you can take that how the fuck you want, dickweed. So.
I mean, that could be taken a good way. It's like, but I wasn't correct on this one, but I wasn't wrong. But then, if you're not wrong, you're right. If you're not right, you're wrong.
Down to 5 and 6, because here's the truth. I think Michael Penix Jr. could start out the gate because of the experience level, right? He played so much college ball through those injuries. But I still think he's the sixth quarterback off the board, or should be the sixth quarterback off the board. But it's only because of Drake May's age. Drake May can sit on the bench for a couple years and learn. His age doesn't become a factor, whereas Michael Penix Jr. is already a couple years older than these guys and probably needs to get out there immediately to make the
He's the most NFL-ready quarterback, I would say.
I would actually say maybe Bo Nix, but then Michael Penix Jr., you know, played a lot of ball, so. I would say Bo Nix off film, if you want to know the truth. Out of all of these guys, I would say Bo Nix is probably the most NFL, look like an NFL, throw like an NFL quarterback, already ready. Size, stature, arm speed, release, the whole nine, dude. So I'm not going to change Michael Penix at 6 and Drake May at 5. I do believe that Drake May should be the 5th quarterback off the board and Penix should be the 6th one. So let's go to the middle where I have the changes, because that's the important part of this segment. So originally I had Bo Nix 4 and J.J. McCarthy 3 and J.J. McCarthy 4. I've recently, within the last 2 days, switched them actually. J.J. McCarthy 3 and Bo Nix 4. But here's why. Because Denver and a couple other teams, I think, are trying to jump for McCarthy. And that makes me say, well, you can't ignore that either. Like, you probably need to settle down and put J.J. McCarthy up one more notch, because let's be honest, nobody's really ready to start in the NFL when they first get there anyway, no matter if you are quarterback size and stature and so on and so forth. Like, I mean, we could just look at Peyton Manning, was absolutely the prototypical quarterback you want. He was a tall, insane, tall drink of water, as I say. Six feet and all head.
Bit of that brain, though. So.
Really ready
after the first year.
Let's be honest, who's really ready day one? I mean, even C.J. Stroud struggled early on, and we were all like, see? And then he started started clicking, and all of a sudden, you're rookie of the year, right? So, who's really ready to start out the gate, man? Honestly, after watching, forefront of my mind, memorable last probably 32 years of football, right? It really does stick out to me, like, that, who's really ready to start. I mean, nobody's really that good out the gate unless you sit on the bench for a few years. I mean, like, Jordan Love looked really good. You know, I remember, Aaron Rodgers looking really good when he first started because he also rode the bench like 2 or 3 years, you know? But anyway,
Jordan Love, it took him a couple minutes to get a hold of the game, but then once he got a hold of it, holy fucking shit. You know, he sat on the bench.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. So that's what I have for the quarterback 2.0 draft. I'm going to go ahead and move J.J. McCarthy up to the number 3 quarterback in the draft. I will say that Drake May, again, off the bench after a couple of years, really high ceiling. I think the issue with him will be is the issue I'm going to have with J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix and Caleb Williams and likely, of course, Jaden Daniels is that of these six men, I really feel like 4 to 5 of them are going to be asked to start out of the gate. And I think that's a mistake, to be honest.
I mean, depending on where they go, they're gonna have to start off the gate.
Exactly. And like, but
if they go to Denver, they're definitely going to have to start.
Well, I just think that there's a lot of guys' careers that get ruined in this nature of this. Like, I think Zach Wilson would have been great. You know, and I even said this maybe a year or two off the bench because he's immature. And look at what he was, immature.
Yeah, not, sure just luck, the, yeah.
Not just on the field, but as a human, he was immature. And what it was is because, dude, I went to school with a bunch of rich kids like him. And I've just seen them act like their shit don't stink. And then the first time that everybody's equal and on the same playing field, they ain't shit.
Yep.
That's the truth.
His entire life has been told, you're awesome, you're awesome,
you're awesome. Bro, you went to BYU. Who the fuck did you really play? I said that, remember?
Right.
You're from the Mountain West fucking conference, my dog. Who the fuck did you really play? I'm not saying to be a dick. I'm being honest.
Not you play anybody in the SEC or anything, you know?
Right. Well, here's the bad news. That's the show for today. Here's the good news.
Oh,
that's the show.
No.
But before we go, trivia question.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Soccer.
What team has earned promotion the last 3 years straight? No, let me ask you better. What team yes. I told you it was going to be easy to win this one. And super shout out to Rob McElhaney, Ryan Reynolds. They took a team that wasn't even in what's called the paid tiers, which is where the teams literally get money from the league for being in those tiers to help pad their financial needs towards gaining players and stuff, you know? It's hard to get out of the lower leagues because you got to have the money to be competitive to get to the next place. And then once you're there and you start getting some money back in the kitty, you can get even better players, right? So anyway, I just want to give a shout out to Wrexham, who got themselves promoted out of the non-paying tiers of English football and got themselves back up into the paying tiers and have now been promoted the last couple of years to where now they're in League One next year, which the only thing above League One is the Championship League and then the Premier League, which is where you find the likes of like Manchester and Chelsea and Arsenal and things like that and Liverpool, right? So they are just a couple tiers below that. And they are now, I believe they will be on TV because I think ESPN carries the League Two teams or League One teams. They just don't carry League Two very often. And so it's really big for them. And I'm just really proud of them. I told you, P, I started supporting them because Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhaney own the team. And then I just fell in love with this little like coal town. That's like a little Welsh coal town. It's just the cutest little thing ever. And I love them now. And I feel like I'm adopted by them unofficially. Even if you don't want me, I'm here. Ask Podcast P. That's just how it is. So, buddy, you're right. Wrexham. Great job, Wrexham. Seriously proud of them. To have U.S. owners with good intentions, you know, and it's nice to see. Anyway, we got to get out of here. Any parting words if your thing hasn't froze? Fix your thing, by the way. I mean, seriously. You bum. Love you, though.
I just wanted to say that. He's not American. He's Canadian. Hey. From Regina, Saskatchewan.
You're right. He is Canadian. Pat McElhaney's American.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, now
so it's North American owned.
Have a good week.
You won't be texting and driving with us up in your ride.